The Sermon on the Mount is a very well-known portion of the Bible. The preacher of this sermon is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And his preaching, as you read here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." The people were amazed at the simplicity and yet the authority with which Jesus Christ spoke. Now, the early part of the Sermon on the Mount that we read of from Matthew chapter 5 through until these verses that we have read here, the early part of the sermon was on how the upright should live, how he should walk, how he should talk, how they should conduct themselves in this wicked world. Indeed, you might say the principles of life are set forth clearly in those opening verses and chapter of the preaching of the Sermon on the Mount. But yet, when you come to the last part of the sermon, and to these verses that we read of here in Matthew chapter 7, it is plain from the words of Jesus that he intended his hearers to be practical and to do, that they would put into practice the sound advice that he had been preaching to them. You read of that, and certainly in the verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Verse 21 as well, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." God requires action, as it were, a response to the sermons with which he preached. Now, it's very interesting as you look at Matthew chapter 7. Our Savior, he paints word pictures. And two pictures are presented for us in these verses that we read. If we look at the verses 15 through to 20, "Beware of false prophets." And he expounds that, he enlarges upon that teaching. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he is drawing the picture verbally of the false prophet, and he is giving plain, decisive words as to how man ought to prevent and protect themselves from that. And then the verses 21 through to 23, he speaks of the false professor. "Not all men that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." You see, not all men are transformed. Not all men that walk this earth are born of the Spirit of God, children of our Father. And that very same theme, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in his sermon, in verses 24 through to 27, he picks it up again. And he teaches, basically, the false possessor. Those individuals that make a false claim at being Christian. Now why? Why does the Lord Jesus Christ teach such a subject? Now we have to remember that in this biblical day, in our day of course we have social media. Many people will follow social media. They'll follow a personality, whether it's a sports personality or political personality or whatever. But in the biblical day, there wasn't that social media. It was a different form of social media. It was conversation. And as people walked the streets, the highways and the byways of Israel, they conversed the one with the other. They stopped each other in the highway, in the streets. And you can imagine them as they began to talk. "Did you hear about this man from Galilee? Did you hear about the miracles that he's doing, the happenings, the performances?" People were talking. Interest was generated. Men and women flocked from far and near to get a glimpse, to see the events, the happenings, which Jesus Christ was doing and performing in their very midst. Many were only there out of curiosity. They weren't following him because of the gospel, but out of what they themselves could gain and glean and learn perhaps. But their reasons were wrong. And Jesus Christ is identifying and he's highlighting a school of thought that existed in his day. A school of thought that exists unto this very day. It's a head knowledge without a heart change. It's easy believism. And it's sweeping through our country. It has crossed the Atlantic from America. And it's sweeping through like a cancer through this country. And this subject, the Lord Jesus Christ himself takes up. Therefore, it comes with authority. It is steeped with importance. And if ever men hearken to the teaching of a preacher, they should heed the preaching of the Son of God and the words of Jesus Christ that we find here in Matthew 7:24-27. And therefore, in light of Holy Scripture, we want to consider two types as we find them here in the narrative before us. Two types of people. Firstly, let us notice the picture of two builders. And as you look upon these two builders in the picture thereof, the similarities between them twain is striking. Now one of these builders is described for us in the verse 24 as the wise builder, and the other in the verse 26 as the foolish builder. But can I say with regards to these two builders and the picture of them, the design was identical. Both had the same design. Now that's an interesting feature. The likeness between these two buildings is considerable. In terms of proportion, in terms of dimension, in terms of pattern, the houses were identical. You would have difficulty in a competition of spotting the difference, to identify the difference between them both. You would have serious difficulty. As far as architecture was concerned, there were no differences to be discerned or ascertained between the wise builder and the foolish builder. And that's a tremendous truth that we can bring to our hearts tonight, because we all, every single one of us, as you look upon me and I look upon you, and you look upon each other, we all have the same designer. We're all created in the image of God. We're all made of body, soul, and spirit. Each one of us have a soul to be saved. You know, evolutionists and other theorists, atheists will tell you that there's no such thing as God. God doesn't exist. Evolutionists will tell you that we came from monkeys. Well, if they want to believe that, they can. But in light of the scripture, in light of these two buildings that represent humanity, both saved and sinner, we have the same designer, and God is the designer. We're created in his image. There might be slight differences with reference to our color. Some are black, some are white. There might be some differences with respect to our creed. Maybe a Jew, someone else a Hindu, a Muslim, a Protestant, or a Catholic. There may be slight differences cosmetically. Well, we'll not say too much about that. But apart from all of these things, we are created identical, structurally speaking. We have arms and legs and a body and a head and face and eyes. That's the way God has created us. We have the same designer. But both of these builders, as we move on from that picture, both of them had the same desire. The imagery is that both wanted to build a house. Both wanted shelter from the storms of life. Both were impressed by the same need. And both fulfilled their ambition, because the narrative clearly explains to us that both built a house. The wise man, which built his house, verse 24, and the foolish man, which built his house. So both had the same desire. And that's true again of humanity. How alike people we all are. We want what is best for ourselves, for our families. We want that nice home, to have nice possessions. And if we think of the afterlife, I'm convinced whether a person is an evolutionist or whether a person is an atheist, yet underlying it all, they still want to get to heaven. They want the best for themselves. In their estimation, if there's such a place as heaven, then they want it. No matter what they say, their interests, these builders, their interests were the same. Their influence for the good of Christianity are the same. And that's true irrespective of what creed. Some people will go to a church. Others will go to a chapel. Others will go to a synagogue. But ultimately, they all want to enjoy the powers and the prestige that a place of worship can provide. And you might say to me, well, that's not strictly true. But it is. You think of Judas Iscariot. He was numbered among the disciples, but he wasn't a true disciple. You think of Simon the Sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. That man wanted the power that Paul displayed. He wanted what the church could offer him. He wanted to buy it with money. But we know that the gospel is without money and without price. And so there are people in this world who will have the same desire that you have. They all want what is best for themselves, for ourselves. And so we have the same desire as these had. But both had the same determination. Both persevered and finished the structure. And on the surface of things, nothing was wrong. But both were poles apart in terms of soundness of the work and the character undertaken. You see, one of these builders, the Lord Jesus describes as a wise man. The other is the foolish. One building was superficial, whereas the other was substantial. Do you know there are many souls and they are resolved to put on Christ? There are many souls in the province of Ulster and they're in earnest. They're determined. They want to get to heaven. With the same design, the same desire, the same determination. But while one was true, the other wasn't. One had to put on Christ, but the other didn't. You see, one of these builders was deceived. One of them, the Lord Jesus Christ describes as the foolish man. And the difference between them is not obvious as we look at this portion of Scripture. But if we take our Bibles and we turn to a parallel portion, to Luke chapter 6. And as we come to Luke chapter 6, and the verses 48 and following, it's the same account, but it's recorded through different eyes. It's recorded from Luke the physician. And what is he saying here in verse 48 of Luke chapter 6? And he is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And if you read on down the next verse, you see that the parallel is the portion. But this verse and these verses take us from the picture of the two builders to consider the platform. The platform upon which the buildings were constructed. Luke has shown us something that was hidden from view in Matthew's account. Something of vital importance. What was it that he is showing us that makes such a contrast, such a difference between these two buildings? Between the picture of the wise man and the foolish man. Well, look very carefully at Luke 6:48. And it says, and he is like a man which built an house and digged deep. Now that little piece of information wasn't in Matthew's account. Dig deep, and he laid his foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, the crux of the whole matter is the foundation. The platform upon which the building is constructed. One was built on sand, on the earth, whereas the other was constructed on the rock. You see, there is the speed of construction that obviously featured in the building process. And perhaps that was the driving force. The foolish man wanted to get the building up. He was in a hurry. And so he didn't lay a foundation. He didn't have time. There was no time to be patient, to wait. He was only interested in shortcuts and quick results. And you know, therein lies a warning to every Christian worker and every Christian minister in the gospel that when someone comes to seek counseling, we need to be careful that that seeker is building upon a sure and solid foundation. That's essential. I said earlier about easy believism. And I'm convinced that that is a great, great problem in Protestant Ulster today. You talk to many different people when it comes to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they'll say, it's good works, live a good life. Oh, I believe in God. Of course they do. But the foundation is insecure. The foundation is so important. And the foolish man's house was undoubtedly built quicker. There was no sweat at foundation level. No true repentance, neither sorrow for sin. You know, when I think of the words of Jesus Christ himself, did he not say, repent and be converted? Repentance and remission for sins. You know, dear listener tonight, that is one of the most telling messages and words that are spoken from the pulpits in our land. Repentance and remission for sin. All too few are preaching it. Too many are trying to soften and to mellow and to tone it down. But my friend, it is all important that the foundation be correct. Here is the wise man in Luke chapter 6 and the verse 48. And he's digging deep and he's laying the foundation on a rock. And the verse concludes with, for it was founded upon a rock. That's the only sure foundation today, is the rock Christ Jesus. As Paul said, for no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. The foolish man builds his house speedily, but he fails to lay a firm foundation. He is rushed in without fully understanding the true estate of his soul. Indeed, he's failed to understand completely the work of the cross. You know, the work of the cross is all important. Nothing but the cross. Get to the cross. I remember as a young man in Six Mile Cross, Free Presbyterian Church, and one of the men there, while at that time he was neither a church committee member nor an elder, he is now, but he was saying, when you're counseling and talking to people, he says, they'll try to steer you away. They'll try to get you into Bypath Meadow. He says, told me as a word of advice, always bring them back to the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. That's what we need to be bringing sinners to. To laying that sure foundation upon the blood of his righteousness. The soundness of the construction of the wise man was contrary to that of the foolish. Time was spent at foundation level. You know, every believer, a builder, knows the necessity of laying a good foundation, of getting it right first time. I don't know among this congregation if there are construction men among you, builders. Last Saturday I was traveling to Londonderry with fellow apprentice boys. And on the way back I was talking to one of those men, and he was telling me that in his work he's in construction. And he's going to have to go in September to Glasgow in Scotland for a 6-year project. Millions of pounds of money because of a design error to put right a fault because the foundation wasn't correct. I tell you, it costs. In monetary terms, it costs a lot of money if the foundation is wrong. How much more spiritually? It will cost you, dear soul, dearly. It will cost you everything. The cost is immense. And of course, every soul seeking salvation must come for the right reasons. Because they see their sin, their uncleanness. Remember the thief on the cross. Kneel beside our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Again, one of those was a foolish builder, but the other was wise. One of those freely admitted that he was nailed to that cross for his own sin, but this man was innocent. Referring to Jesus, he was a wise builder. He was building upon Christ. And in a moment of time, that man, he would be swept away and be forever with the Lord in his paradise. You see, sinners that are seeking the Savior, they have to come for the right reasons. Because they see their sin and their uncleanness in the sight of God. because they know that they are far off from God, that they are at enmity against the Lord, because they know that they are destined for the flames of everlasting torment, realizing that the wages of sin is death, because they're aware they need a substitute, a Savior. Because they see what sacrifice Jesus Christ hath made for them, just like the thief on the cross. I wonder tonight in the gathering, have you seen that it was all for you the Savior bled and died? That He paid the price of sin for you. Full atonement is freely offered. The price has been fully paid. Salvation full at highest cost He offers free to all. A good foundation is essential. It's imperative. Why? Thirdly, because it is for the preservation of one and the destruction of the other. You see, Almighty God is a God of justice. I briefly spoke upon that this morning. And whatsoever He doeth is right. And who can say otherwise? Remember, it was the Lord God Almighty who Himself said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And therefore among men God has created some as vessels unto honor and others unto dishonor. And here in Matthew chapter 7, we certainly see that. Vessels unto honor, the wise man. Vessels unto dishonor, the foolish man. You know, we are in the last of the last days. And there's coming a time when there will be the separation. The sands of time are sinking and the dawn of heaven is breaking. And God has His own peculiar method of flushing out the genuine from the fake. Look what He says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 25, referring to the wise man that has built his house upon a rock. Here's the testing in verse 25. And the rain descended. The unavoidable circumstances of life, illnesses, bereavement, disappointments, the rain descended. And the floods came, the onslaught, the surge and the fury of the world, beating against us, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, and everything that goes with it. The floods and the winds blowing. Definite satanic attacks, doubts and denials, foul and blasphemous thoughts. The foul wind that blows. Here is the test. And when that test comes to the wise man, look how verse 25 closes. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. There's security. Security for the child of God. Security for the wise man, the wise builder. Safe. Safe in Christ. Safe on Christ. Safe. Secure. Saved. That's the result of that test. But then come down to verse 27. And notice that the test is the same. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, the house of the foolish man who is built upon the sand. Verse 27 clearly says, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. For some there is the triumph of faith. For others there is not. The triumph of faith is only for the wise man who listened and laid a sure foundation, who is settled on the word of God, who is at peace with God, who knows that peace which passeth all understanding. Now get this. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Compare that to verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. You see, that's the difference. Whenever you hear the gospel preached and the Lord telling you through His word, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that means that you have to do something. You have to repent. When the Bible tells you, any other reference you care to use, advice from the Lord to be in time, to seek Christ, that's advice. That's something that you have to do. To do nothing leaves your soul in peril. When the winds blow, the rains fall, and the storm gathers, it leaves your soul in peril. Tell me, which type of building best describes you in the meeting tonight? As we bow our heads, as we close our eyes, you think upon that. Think upon that question. Which type of building are you?